All right, open your Bible to Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Okay, let's pray together, and then let's let the Lord open our eyes today. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for today. We are grateful to be here and witness your glory. We are grateful to be filled with your Spirit, to be amongst the believers that you have placed us with, to be here at sunrise today. And Father, today we celebrate and thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for letting us know that in our walk of faith, we do not walk alone. And Father, we are grateful for the challenges in our life that you have seen us through. We are grateful for your presence that calms our hearts and strengthens our hands in every situation. Father, we are grateful for the eternal hope that you have put in our hearts. The reason why we're here, why we follow you, why we live faithfully, why we have turned away from the world and turned towards you. And Father, we are grateful for all of the things that we look forward to in your eternal presence after our time here is done. Father, we hope in you every single day, and we hope in you for all eternity. Today we praise your name because you are the one, the only God, and the one that has seen fit to love us so much so as to send your Son to die on the cross and pay the debt that we all owed. Father, we understand that in our past lives, we had grown that debt of sin. And Father, we say amen and we praise your name because you have accepted Jesus' death to pay our bill. And we have put our faith and our hope in the name of your Son and what he has done. We thank you for raising him from the dead. And we thank you for assuring our hearts that we get to follow in those same steps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 26. All human history is measured on the before and after of Jesus Christ. And every single one of our lives can be measured on the before and after of when we encountered Jesus Christ. And what we see today in Acts chapter 26 is the Apostle Paul being given opportunity to make his defense. A little backstory, if you haven't been with us at this point in the story, he has been imprisoned by Romans, and that's because the Jews brought him to the Romans trying to say, hey, this man has been lying about God. He's saying things that are false, and we believe that he deserves to die. He has gone through several different levels of authority and the court system, if you will, and now today he gets to make his defense before a king. And Paul is going to use in this chapter a wonderful example for us, and that is to share the story of Jesus with our lives, with the before and after. So Paul's going to start with, this is who I was, and this is where I was when I met Jesus. And this is now my reality since I have met Jesus. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 1. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They've known it for a long time, if they're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So, Paul gets his chance. He's standing before the king. These Jewish religious leaders have sent a delegation. They've followed him from town to town. Everywhere they have gone, they have tried to appeal to Rome. This is exactly what happened with Jesus and Pilate. They brought Jesus to Pilate and said, "Hey, this guy's doing wrong." They brought false witnesses. They said lies about him. They couldn't prove anything, but they said, "We demand that he be killed, and we demand that you do it." Now, the same thing is happening to Paul. And the Jews have brought witnesses. They've tried to say things about him, to lie about him, to say things that he has not done. And through this whole time, Paul has had to learn to trust the Lord, to not let go of his witness, and to realize and understand that wherever God has him, number one, God is with him, and number two, this is an opportunity to share his story. And so Paul opens up and he says, "Okay, here's my story. My story is I was just like these guys. I was them. In fact, I was the best of them. I was the best of them." And he points to his upbringing. And he said, "I was raised as a Pharisee. I mean, according to what God has given us throughout all of history, I was at the top of my class. I followed and did everything. And then when this Jesus came along, I was at the front. I was the tip of the spear. I was chasing down the followers of Jesus. I was getting arrest warrants for them. I was chasing them from town to town. And I was helping put them to death. I was casting my vote guilty. I was holding their coats just so they could throw the rocks. I was right there." Now, this is Paul's story. This is Paul's story before he came to the light. And his story is one in which he absolutely 100% was convinced that what he was doing was serving God faithfully. You ever meet somebody and go, "How can they possibly come to that understanding or that misunderstanding? How can someone get it so wrong?" That's Paul. He wrote half the New Testament. Some of our favorite verses, if someone said, "Hey, what's your favorite verse?" or "That verse you got hanging in the house," more than likely it was written by this guy. And this is the guy who said, "I was right there. I was trying to put an end to what Jesus had done. And now I stand before you, King Agrippa, and these guys that are trying to kill me, I mean, I could be that guy, or I could be that guy. But I can't be that guy anymore. I can't be that guy anymore. You remember Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to turn over there real quick and just read a couple verses for us. Just a reminder. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes these words, and we started way back at the beginning of Acts with these words. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. See, Paul has come to this point to where he understands, look, I thought I was doing everything right. I thought my life was headed the right direction. I thought my path was righteous. I thought it was correct. In fact, I thought I was at the top of the mountain. But here's what I've had to learn. That my past has to be my past. My past has to be my past because I am pursuing. And you remember as we went through Philippians chapter 3 and saw this, Paul is actively pursuing the one that has taken hold of him. See, just like all of the world's history has a before and after with the cross. We have B.C., A.D., I mean everybody, whether they believe or not, measures time according to our Savior. Well, church, each and every one of us has a before and an after. Each and every one of us has a life that we lived before we encountered Jesus. And some of our lives were a mess. Some of our lives were a mess, and we knew it, and we encountered Jesus, and it all changed on that day. And for some of us, our life may have been a little less of a mess. I mean, we may have been raised in the church, and you know, I've been doing good things all my life, and I never really did anything bad per se, but you know, I was taught the truth, but I did give my life to Christ, and so now I'm in my after. Whole nother lesson about sin being sin, and there's not a degree of sin that does not offend God. But Paul would write here in Philippians that Christ has found me. Christ has taken hold of me. And church, when Christ takes hold of us, when Christ finds us where we're at, whether we're just out doing everything wrong out in the world, or whether we're sitting in this church auditorium and our heart is pierced and we truly understand for the first time his sacrifice for us, wherever he has found us, that's the beginning of our story. And so when you are put in a position to share the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done, it begins with your story. This is where I was when Jesus found me. And because Jesus found me, I must pursue him. Because there is nothing else in all of creation worthy of putting my time and my energy and my efforts and my life into. That's what it means to be found by Christ. To be totally captivated. To be totally humbled and grateful and thankful. So that our hearts, filled with love and filled with his very Spirit, drive us to him. And so Paul says, that's where I started. I thought I was doing everything right. I didn't even think I had a need for Jesus. I was one of these guys. But now Paul has had an encounter, and the only thing that matters to him is attaining his goal. And church, now that you and I have encountered Christ, The only thing that matters is attaining our goal. That's it. Some of us have to put behind us our past lives of sin. Some of us have to say, Lord, I realize and I understand the sacrifice that was made for me at Calvary. And my past, my history, the bad things that I've done, the bad things that I've said, all the ways in which I got it wrong. Thank you. Thank you for accepting the life of Jesus for me. And some of us have to put behind us our past accomplishments, because we can't stand on those either. Some of us have to put behind, well, you know, Lord, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been faithful to you. I mean, when Michael talks about sin, I can hardly even relate because I'm good. Well, we have to put that behind us as well. And so we take Paul's example and say, whatever our past life is, number one, that's our past. We don't live in that anymore. And so whether it was a hole that I had dug for myself or whether it was a mountain that I had built for myself, neither one of them matters, because Christ has taken hold of me. So I have come to learn that the only thing that matters is Him. So he'll continue. Now that he talks about his history, now he's going to talk about his conversion. So let's go back to Acts chapter 26 and let's pick it up in verse 12. Acts 26, 12. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, well, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen, to the things which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here, testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. So we know of Paul's before. And now we see the day in which his after began. And so Paul says to the king, King, look, I was going doing exactly what these guys sent me to do. And I was going, and it was noon. And on a clear day at noon, it's pretty bright outside. And as we were going along at noon, a light shone from heaven, brighter than the brightest sun. And I'm seeing this. What is going on? Now, you can imagine, if you're out tomorrow afternoon, you get a chance to go outside, and it's the middle of the day, and a light brighter than the sun. I mean, there's the sun. And a light brighter than the sun shines down on you. Attention gotten, right? God got Paul's attention. God got Paul's attention. And he falls down and he hears a voice. Saul, why are you persecuting me? What did I do to you? Why are you doing this? And Saul asks him, well, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you're hunting down. I'm the one that you're chasing my followers. I'm the one that you're fighting against. And then Jesus gave Paul's life a whole new meaning. Jesus gave Paul's life a whole new purpose, the correct purpose. Church, Jesus has given Paul the purpose in life that each and every one of us has also received. Jesus says, I am the light, and I need you to take the light to everybody else. Now, the fact that Jesus is the light, take a look over at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we don't move because the sun is in the sky. We don't move because the moon is in the sky. We don't move because we have a flashlight on our phone. That's not how we get around. Jesus is the light of the world. He made this claim about himself. And we know this to be true. And this is that light that Paul was blinded by in the middle of the day. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And I don't know if you know it yet, but what you are a part of and what you have confessed and what you believe in and what you hope, that Jesus, the Son of God, the only way to God, the only name that has been given to us from God by which we must be saved. Unfortunately, that's a very exclusive group. And it may even be a minority. But that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. And so Jesus reveals himself to Paul in such a manner, and this is what he's referring to. He is the light of the world. And back in Acts chapter 26, the light of the world tells Paul that he is going to be given the ministry to do what? Let's go back. Verse 16. Get up. This is why I've shown myself to you. I'm making you a servant and a witness to the things that you have seen. And verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. So Jesus himself has given Paul this ministry of saying, look, I have closed your eyes so that I can open your eyes, and you now are going to join me and do this for other people. You need to open their eyes with the truth about Jesus, because they're in darkness. Church, if you're not in the light, you're in darkness. There's no middle ground, okay? There's no, oh, well, it's a cloudy day, but I can still see. Nope, there is light and darkness. In fact, what is the next comparison he uses after light and darkness? What does he say? He's supposed to call him from what? I'm tired of saying it. Somebody else say it. What? From Satan to God. There's not a middle ground. Light and darkness, they are opposed to one another. And then Jesus says, Paul, you are calling them from Satan to God. There's no neutrality. There's no third path. There's no other option. You belong to God or you belong to Satan. You are in the kingdom of light or you are in the kingdom of darkness. That's why sharing the gospel is so important. You received the gospel. Was it important enough for you to be taken a hold of by Jesus Christ and allowing him to save you from your sins and pull you out of darkness and put you in his light? then it is that important for everyone else. And that's what Paul proclaims. This has happened to me, and so I am happy to stand here in front of you, and I'm going to say it to you, King, and I'm going to say it to all those that are chasing me down, and I'm going to say it to the guy over there that's holding the drink tray and just waiting for his chance, the waiter's by the side. I don't care. I want everybody to hear it. I was in darkness. I thought I was in God's light. I thought I was doing everything right, but Jesus made it obviously clear. The light of the world has appeared to me. And that changed everything. And because Paul has come face to face with the light of the world, Paul says, I can no longer be satisfied to walk in darkness. And now Jesus has given him this ministry of reaching out to everyone else and letting them know, if you're not in the light, you are in darkness. And yeah, but I have my religion, you have yours, and we're both going to be fine. No. That's not how it works. There's no third option. Jesus does not provide a side quest or another way to be a third option. How is he the king of the world if you can just do whatever you want and claim to please him? Paul thought he was pleasing the Lord. Did the Lord leave him to his devices? He did not. He stopped him in his tracks. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, I'm serving the Lord. I'm killing your people. Oh, bravo. Bravo. From darkness to light, from Satan to God. For forgiveness of sins, I'm in verse 18, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in God. You and I that have been brought to the light of God, you and I that have come face to face with Jesus Christ, we understand and we realize before Jesus, our lives were darkness. Before we belonged to God, we belonged to Satan. And now we have been called to the light. Our eyes have been opened. Our hearts have been opened. Our sins have been forgiven. Here we go. I'll get this. Our sins have been forgiven. And we are placed among the people who are now blessed with the righteousness of the Lord. That's our faith. That's my faith. That's your faith. And that's our story. That's our story. And so that's what Paul does here. Lane read for us back in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So Jesus is born into a body, and his parents are bringing him to the temple, and they're going to make the sacrifice for him. And do you remember the guy that was waiting at the temple for him? Simeon. Now, Luke chapter 2 records a couple things that we know about Simeon. What's something that you caught? What do we know about Simeon? He's what? He had the Holy Spirit. Anything else? He had a promise of God. God said, you will not die until you see my glory, right? Anything else? Righteous and devout. This is a faithful guy. He is standing here and he is just waiting. And God blesses him with his spirit and he says, hey, Simeon, you're going to see my light. You're going to see it. And so Simeon's just, he's just getting up every day with that promise. He is getting up every day with, all right, God has said, he's going to show me. He's going to show me. My life will not be over until I see it. So he's just, every day he has that purpose. Every day, is today going to be the day? I don't know. Could be though. It could be. Hey, if I came to you and I said, hey, look, I've got $1 million that I'm going to give to you before you're gone. Before you're dead, I got $1 million. So keep an eye out for it. How you living every day? Is today the day? Tony said he's starting every day with a text to me. Is today the day? Every day, right? What's he going to be doing? He's going to be planning. Oh, I mean, that million, it's mine. Michael's got it. He's going to give it to me, and it's going to happen. I just don't know what day it is. Is today going to be the day? So we're going to start the day. Is today the day? Ooh, think about what that's going to look like. Think about what I can accomplish with that. Think about what I can do with that. I'm excited. I got hope. Let's go. Today's going to be good. Why? Because today could be the day. It's got to be good. That changes everything, right? Well, that's how Simeon's living his life. God has told him, hey, today could be the day. You think Simeon got up every day and prayed, Lord, I pray that this is the day. I pray that this is the day I get to see your light, that I get to see your glory. You've already told me. And could be today. So what does he do? He lives his life in righteousness. He lives his life faithfully. He is in communication with the Lord because the Lord has made a promise to him. And so that day, he goes to the temple and guess what? Oh! He sees the glory of the Lord. He sees the glory of the Lord and this child. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 real quick. Luke chapter 2. Verse 28, Luke 2:28. So Simeon comes to the temple. Jesus shows up with his parents. In verse 28, it says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He sees the light of God. He sees the Son of God. He sees Jesus. Simeon runs up to him. No, the baby's in the cry room. There's not one small enough, or I would... Oh, I'm a Kenya. I'd give you a Lion King minute. He goes up to him and he grabs his child. And he holds him up and he declares to God, listen to what he says. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. Simeon grabs this child, holds him up and says, God, today I can die happy. You can do whatever else you want because you gave me this day. You can do whatever else you want with me. It doesn't matter because you fulfilled your promise. Today's the day. Here he is. You've heard someone say this flippantly, right? Something good happens to them and they say, well, I can die now. That's what Simeon says. I can die now. This was it. This was my goal. This is what I was looking for. And God, thank you so much because you gave it. You made today the day. Whew. And he says, what am I looking at here? What is this? What's the big deal? My eyes have seen your salvation. What did Paul see on the way to Damascus? The Lord's salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Jesus came here inside creation for everybody. Everybody gets to have that same day. Everybody has the opportunity to have their eyes open. And in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's us. And for glory for your people Israel. That's a good day. That's a good day. And so Paul has his day where he sees the light, where Jesus himself appears to him and he says, well, this is it. This is it. I've seen the salvation of the Lord. So what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Because this is a little more than just information. This is just a little bit more than knowledge. This is coming face to face with the Son of God in such a way that my heart is broken, changed, humbled. And now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Yeah, I'm good. I can die now. Well, yeah. But what do I do until then? What do I do until then? That's what Paul does. Until then. And we've already talked about this. We've already seen this in previous chapters because Paul's not in Rome yet, right? But that's what the Lord told him. Hey, you witnessed to me in Jerusalem. You also have to do the same thing in Rome. So Paul knows he's at least getting to Rome. So he knows this is not the end. This is not the end of him. So what's he going to do? He's going to be faithful. He is going to witness to the light. And that light, whew, that light is a revelation for Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. Look, church, after we come to the light, after we come to the light, we go back to Acts chapter 26. And we do what Paul says back here in verse 20. Repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance. All right, let's finish the chapter. Go down to verse 24. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Then the king rose and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man's doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So Paul shares the light with the king. He's made his confession to everyone there. And the king goes, Paul, come on. This is crazy. This is crazy. You've gone too far. And Paul says, this is not crazy. This makes absolute sense. Let's look at our Bible. You, Agrippa, I know you know the Bible. Let's take a look at it. What does it say? Here's what it says. I can prove it to you. This is rational. This makes sense. Which those of you that are new to the show, you know this is what we're doing as soon as we finish the book of Acts. We are going to do exactly what Jesus did, and we are going back to the Old Testament, and we are finding Jesus in every book of the Old Testament, because that's the book that Jesus had to prove who he really was. That's the book that Paul would have had to look at believers and saying, here are all the times we see Jesus. I'm excited. I hope you are too. But today Paul says, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. This didn't happen in the corner. We all saw it. We all saw it. You guys put him to death, but guess what? God didn't let him stay there. God brought him back. We saw that too. We're witnesses. He appeared to me. Could he appear to me? It wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. It was a light of the world. I've got the eyes to prove it. And what am I going to do? He's taken hold of me. He brought his light to me. So what am I going to do with my life? What is more important? What is more valuable? What is more profitable? What is better? What could I devote myself to if not giving myself every single day to this one that has brought me out of darkness into light? What else could I do with my life of following Satan and now following God? What's more worthy of my time? And so the king asked him, Paul, would you try to convince me to become a Christian? Is this what's happening here? And Paul says, yes, you and her and him and them and everybody. I wish everybody would come to this point that I am. I wish everybody would have the hope that I have. Because I've already told everybody, I'm not afraid to die. And if those guys get their hands on me, they can have it. I know the one that I believe. Jesus will be with me to the end and be with me on the other side. He will not let me down. So I cannot let him down. He has given his life for me. So I will give my life gladly for him. He has changed my eternity. I can give him a few years in the flesh. Unfair trade, and I win every single time. So I'm okay with this deal. So you bet.
I hope everybody gets to the point to where I am. Well, I mean, except these chains, this is not a real fun part of it. But all the rest of it, all the hope, all the conviction, all the love, and all the mercy, and all the forgiveness, and all the grace that He has poured out on me, all the guidance, all the trouble, all the wins, all the losses, I'll take it all, and I'll take it again. And every opportunity He gives me to open my mouth and share with you the life-changing message of the good news of Jesus, I'm going to do it. Yeah, Festus, I'm going to become a broken record. Anybody that'll listen, this is what they're hearing. Look, you're all broken records already. I don't know if you're paying attention. You're all broken records already. How many times have you told somebody how the weather was last week? How many times have you told people how your job went last week? How many times have you already complained about the troubles you had yesterday? We're all broken records. So why aren't we singing the gospel? Because we're all singing something. We're all sharing something. We all proclaim. We are all ministers. We are all preachers of some kind of news. I think it's time that we become preachers of the good news. Because in the light of Jesus and everything else, it's really not that important. It's really not. Each and every one of us has a before and after. Each and every one of us has a day in which we came face to face with the light of the world. And because of that day, everything has been changed for us by Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And every day after that, that we enjoy all of His blessings and all of His love and all of His guidance, being filled with His Spirit, being guided in light and righteousness, being a part of His eternal kingdom. Every day after that should be filled with, all right, I got a chance today. Who else needs to hear it? Because there's way too many stuck in darkness. There's way too many that are still dead in their sins. And God has done this for me, and guess what? God has done this for them too. And they need to hear it. They need to hear it. Go back this afternoon, read Romans chapter 10. How do they hear it? They hear it when you and I say it. And it needs to be said. It needs to be said. So Paul is given this wonderful opportunity. We're getting close to the end of this book. I mean, I think there's only one more. I think there's only one more sermon that we actually have recorded of him before it's all said and done in the book of Acts. But this is the last big one. This is his chance, and he uses it. He uses it. He says, "This is what I need you to know. And I want you to believe. I want you to get where I am. I want you to be right here with me." Church, that's the amazing example and the lesson that we have from this chapter in the book of Acts today. The Holy Spirit leads us to share the gospel with everyone so that they may enjoy what we have. Now, if you're not enjoying what you have in Christ, you better rethink some things. Because Paul thought he was right. Everything up to seeing the light, Paul thought he was right. But when it comes to being right or being in the light, what are you going to choose? Light or darkness, God or Satan? It's one simple choice. When the Son comes to you and you are face to face and He speaks to your heart, and you were convicted, and you realize, ooh, yeah, okay, how bad I've been or how good I've been, I need a Savior. I need the one who died for my sins. Because I can't die for my own sins. I can't get myself there. I can't do it myself. The world needs a Savior, and God, blessed be His name, has provided a Savior. So, this week, I want you to remember your day. I want you to remember the day when the light of God came to you. Because everything changed on that day. And then, Paul's wonderful example. Use your past story. Talk about that day. And then be energized for the rest of your story. That's a wonderful example to follow. That's how we're faithful walking with Christ. So today, if you're not a Christian and you have not come face to face with the light, or for whatever reason, you've been kicking against the goads and you haven't responded to the light of God, we invite you to come. And if you've already had your day and you are walking in the light, okay, then every day, I could die today. It's okay, because I have what God has given me. That's all I need. That's all I need. Just realize that there are those around you this week that don't have it. They don't have it. And you get an opportunity to bring that light to them. Oh, that all of us lived every day with, hey, I wish you were just like me. I wish you had the hope that I hope, the hope that I hold. That's a man on fire. That could be a church on fire. That could be a world on fire. Let's stand together and sing.